Matthew chapter 5. We're going back there again. Thank you for giving to Felicia Otzoy. We took, Eric mentioned last week, we took up a special offering for her, and it was a one-time deal. And we almost got $700 for that offering for her. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. She's battling cancer. This week, I talked to Nicholas yesterday, and he said it's been a very traumatic week for her. Said she's been throwing up for the last 3 days, and said she never calls me, but said she'd call me and said, I need prayer, and would you please have the prayer warriors pray? And so be sure and remember her in your prayers. Also remember Hines, their oldest son. They didn't know what was wrong the other day. He's probably 13, 14 years old, maybe a little older. But now he's developed epilepsy and had several sessions this week or seizures, and they're very discouraged. And so just a lot of stuff has hit their family. So keep them in your prayers. We'd already talked to the board, and we're going to send $500 along with that. So it'll be about $1,100, $1,200 we'll be able to send to Felicia. And that'll be an encouragement to her to not have to worry about part of her medical expenses. So thank you very much for giving to the Lord. We appreciate that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we looked at that and talked about when we're depraved, we're empty, we're bankrupt, you know, in our spirit. He says, you know what, the access to the kingdom of heaven and everything that belongs in heaven, you have access to that. It's kind of like the code. Remember, we said you can key that in and you have access to that. And so that's what we pray the Otzoys would get a hold of. They're going through their time, that they'll access the keys of the kingdom. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. A week or so ago, Miss Thelma said, I didn't know that message was for me that day, but we preached that on the Sunday before Cliff's passing, and she said that was for me that week. And so maybe this week it'll be for you or for someone else. But there's a time in our life we'll all mourn. And he said, you know what? When we're in a mourning state for whatever we're going through, there's comfort available. And we need to remember, you know, when we say, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know, you know, all that stuff can be comforted by the peace and the direction of God. That's what we have access. This is how many knows this is a powerful teaching that Jesus did that day. It's full of power, and it gives us, for every problem, everything we go through here on this planet, he says, here's what you have, and he says, and he calls them blessed. You're fortunate. You're well off, he says. Blessed are they. If fortunate or well off is what we can become when we go through these things because of who he is and who the kingdom of God is. And so, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we looked at that and about the attitude of the meek last week and how they really not only possess things here on earth and property, but really possess their life here. How many is just living the life that, you know, God gave you and you're enjoying it and you've got direction? And he said, the inheritance here should be, it's for your taking. It's, you know, when Jesus came and died, he left us a great inheritance to be able to take the life that he's carved out for us and the calling he's given us and the gifts that he's given us to use those and be a blessing and to produce a blessing through us, to inherit what he's given us. And today we're going to look at, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he says, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So today we're going to look at blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, first of all, I want to kind of set a foundation here. Those that hunger and thirst, and the word hunger means to crave or to be famished. And so, how many has ever come in from work or a hard day somewhere and you say, I'm starving? And it just depends on what that means to your mind and your body, what your the hunger and the thirst that you feel. You're craving something. And try to keep your mind on the message if you can and not lunch. But you're craving something. Whatever. When you say, I'm starving, there's something inside. Your mind's thinking something. It may be thinking ribs. Yeah. It may be thinking greasy potatoes. I know we're Okies. We eat greasy potatoes, right? We mash them, we grease them, we, you know, smash them. Every way we can grease up a potato here in Oklahoma, we will, you know. So, but you're thinking something, and whatever that craving is, your body's thinking that, and then what does that craving produce? It produces action, doesn't it? That craving and hunger produces action because you're going to move from where you are. Sometimes I'll get home and Jan say, hurry up, I am starving. And here's the way I do. I don't starve very long. I'll snack. How many's like me? You don't hunger and thirst very long. Yeah, I'll take and get some peanuts or you know something and pretzel and I'm gonna eat something. You know I'm gonna so I'm not starving when I get to the table. But we'll say and so that craving and here's the key about it. The craving it's more than just oh I want to or I would like to. A craving you know sometimes how many's ever said you know I'd like to go to Europe or Dublin or you know wherever you go. You went to, didn't you, Aaron? World travel. Got two world travelers right here just in our midst. And so but I want to, and how many you have a want but you never follow up on the want. Anybody? You know, most of us, oh we want to do this or we want to do that. And so a craving and a hunger is more than a want. It's something that will move us in doing what we need to do in order to satisfy that hunger and that thirst. And so he's saying to us here, if there's a real craving, if there's a real moving, I mean, if it's real, we'll move toward whatever it is we're hungering and thirsting at. How many knows whatever you hunger and thirst after physically produces how you look today? It's a product of how you look, what you crave in the natural. Last night we went out to the Cranes and Bill Correa and Bill Crane was in the little gazebo and boy they had those cookers going and burgers flipping and hot dogs and I mean they cooked us up a feast and we ate and we ate and we ate. And then they brought out the homemade ice cream and homemade cakes, homemade pies. And we ate some more. We wasn't hungry nor thirsty. And we ate some more. Why? Because we're outside and out. How many knows it just tastes better outside? It tastes really good to me when it's outside and somebody else cooked it and I didn't have to. It doesn't get any better than that. Cook it outside and somebody else cooks it and just invite me over, you know. In fact, it was so funny, you know, because I guess somebody had a craving for Miss Jana's baked beans, and I'll tell Helen this today because it was so funny. Jana, when you said beans, she had just cooked a big pot of beans for Cliff's family's meal, and so it just rested in her head to cook pinto beans. And so Summer came over yesterday, and she's got this big old pot of pinto beans on for your cookout. And Summer said, "Why are you cooking pinto beans?" I'm sure she meant baked beans. It's a hamburger, a hot dog cookout. She said, "Oh." See, we misread the craving and the hunger and the thirst, you know, what she was saying. And so she says, well, we'll eat those later. And so she goes and puts on the baked beans, you know. And Jana makes healthy baked beans with bacon grease and all that stuff in it. And so she cooked those up, you know. And that's the way we are sometimes. We don't. How many's ever, you're not sure what you're craving? You know, you're not satisfied. And we do that in eating all the time. What do you want to eat? I don't know. You want to eat? It don't sound good. And you don't do that when you're craving something, do you? When you're craving something and you're famished, you're really hungry, it moves you to food. Where if we're not really that hungry, we'll say, no, you know, I don't care. Well, wherever you want to eat. Nah, does that sound okay? Oh, I don't know. Because most of us here in America, we're not hungry. Because we eat all the time. We got access to food all the time. Third world countries, a lot of them, you eat at mealtime. I get tickled when we go to Guatemala. Haley and some of them could testify this. First breakfast or two, it's good, isn't it? Usually eggs and bacon or, you know, whatever they got. And then by the end of the meal, we're eating chips and beans and maybe salsa and a banana, you know, so whatever's left on the menu item. And I think it's a way of saying, okay, it's time for y'all to go home. You know, get we're tired of feeding you. You know. But when they eat, it's mealtime. We eat, you know, 7-Eleven on every corner. We stop and we get a quick snack and stuff. So we don't crave much in that area. But here's what I know. When he's talking about craving for and a hunger righteousness, so we have to establish that's a craving inside, a famished feeling that will move us to action. This is something more than just a want to or some mild desire. This is something that's going to move us into action. And so when he says those that hunger and thirst for, after righteousness, what is he talking about? And so here's where I think a lot of us Americans miss it, because what is righteousness? Well, we have to go to this, right? To distinguish what righteousness is, we have to look here. How many knows this is our manual for life? This is the one that will make you or break you. I mean, you'll follow it or you won't. And so, for instance, before I was a student of the Word of God, whenever if you crossed me somewhere and if you were mean to me, I'd be mean to you back. Because that's fair, right? That's fair. If you look up the word righteousness, it says equity, which is fairness or just, you know, to be fair, to be just. And so here's how we could term it in Oklahoma terms, I think we'd all understand, is blessed are they, fortunate or well off are they, who hunger and crave after what is right. I think that would be a good way for us to put it here, if we're just going to put it in a paraphrase and put it in an easy term. If we hunger and thirst for what is right. Now, how many knows the problem is when we get in dispute sometimes with each other, we're disputing over what is right. You ever been in dispute with another Christian about what is right and what's wrong? You're both Christians, right? You both love God, right? But you have there's that discrepancy. There's something there that's not, you're not agreeing on, and so you have a right up here in your mind, and they have a right up here in their mind, in their heart, and so but you're not meeting together. And so We need to be sure when we're hunger, when we got the hunger and thirst, we're hungry and thirsty after what is right. Used to, I thought it was right. If you talked about me, I'll talk about you. Time about fair play. That's my Oklahoma philosophy. I grew up with. You treat me bad, I treat you bad. That's fair. That's fair. And then I became a student of God's Word, and I thought, oh, that's not right. Well, he said, if you treat me bad, he said, I'm supposed to bless you. Now, you don't want to treat me bad just to get a blessing, because that'll still reflect on you. But that's my part. That's your part. If somebody mistreats you, your part is to bless them. That's right. I mean, those, and you have to hunger and thirst for those kind of things to be able to develop that kind of an attitude and that kind of a life as a Christian. I mean, those, there's not one person in this building that can say, oh, when people mistreat me, I love to bless them and pray for them. It is the joy of my life. There's two words. You need a liar or you need psychiatric treatment, that one of the two. You know, it's up here. It's go to the psych ward, you know. It's just not in our sin nature, is it? So, but we can come to that, and I began to hunger and thirst after that years ago whenever people mistreat me. And as a pastor, I've had people lie and tell a group of people. I kicked them out of the church, and I said, no such thing. I said, you know, I had a question about what this group was doing. I said, we need to have a meeting and see where you're at biblically, scripturally. And their reply was, this is a God thing, and you can't stop it. And I said, I don't want to stop a God thing. I just want to see where you're coming from scripturally. And so they left the church and they reported back to some of the body of Christ, Pastor kicked us out of church. And all I did was ask for a meeting. And so they took their little group and they took off and doing the will of God, and it fell apart, and they went to a church and that church closed, and then they tried to start a church and that fizzled out, and then part of the members came back and joined themselves to our body again. Because we learned that, you know what, when somebody lies about you and tells stories on you and slanders your name, you don't retaliate, you bless them. and you don't gossip about them, you bless them. It would have been nice if he'd have put, you bless them and you can do a little gossiping if you need to. Just to get it off your chest, you know. It would have been nice, but he didn't say that. He said, you can pray for them and you can do good to them and all that. And so that is, I should hunger and thirst after that when I'm having a difference with a brother in Christ or even a sinner, you know, somebody that's lost. I know how to treat them because God said that is right. I didn't know what was right in my giving until I came to Christ. I've always been pretty generous, but He says that you should give a tenth of all your increase. I didn't know that until I came to Christ. I didn't know that was biblical. I didn't know that was something He expected me to do and that He would give me blessings and that He would take away a bunch of my battles that I don't have to fight anymore because He said that He would rebuke the devourer, the thing that's come to devour me, devour my joy, devour my health, devour whatever it is. And how many knows if you think the devourer is not after you, you need to wake up. In fact, in the mission statement of the Satan, it is, I have come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so his mission statement itself says, I am after you and I'm after your family. That's a fact, Jack. And so that's his mission statement and that's the way he lives, but that's not the way we live. What is right? There's a lot of things I didn't know was right until I begin to study the Word. So, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness' sake for what is right shall be filled. And that means to fill in abundance. You know, whatever emptiness you have, whatever hole you have, you know, and I praise the Lord for Miss Thelma and her walk because she knows from where her help comes. You know, I was talking to a brother the other day. He said, I wish I'd have been, when I lost my spouse, I'd have been going... I'd have been a Christian, been walking the Christian walk. He said, because it was hard. I've reached out for alcohol and drugs and fun and everything else. But you know what? You're on a good track. Because you know that the only thing in this life that can feel that hunger and thirst now for what you had with Cliff is the Holy Spirit. But this is your promise that you will be filled. And whatever it is that you're... You feel that big, huge hole in your heart or mind or lacking. He said today, this is for you. You shall be filled when you take this craving and hunger and turn it in the right manner, the way God said to in His Word. He'll fill it. There's not one craving, not one hunger. And how many, it's a principle, it's a godly principle that works even for a sinner. You see people that are hungry and thirsty after business, and that's all they think about is business. Just they wake up, you know, like we say here, and all they all business from time they get up to time they go to bed. But they reap a lot of money and all the stuff rewards that financial gain brings with it because that's all they hunger and thirst for. Now there's going to come a time when that's not going to be enough. I mean, there's come a time when you just make so much money and you just have so many toys. I found out the more toys you have, the more maintenance you have. Jana likes our little pool we have, you know, and stuff. But boy, if you don't tend to that thing all the time, you'll see little brown spots just coming up here and there, little algae, especially in the Oklahoma heat. And so you get to swim and enjoy, but boy, there's maintenance. I knew a guy one time, he had a real rich friend. He said, I love my friend. He said, I enjoy his stuff all the time while he's out trying to make a living and pay for it. So if you want a lot of stuff, just get a rich friend. Go enjoy his stuff and you can go home, let him do all the maintenance and the upkeep. So what are you hungry for? See, that's the thing. What are you hungering for? And a lot of times we hunger to say, I hope they'll get theirs. They'll get theirs. You know, when we have that little tension between, oh, they'll get theirs. You know, that's a hunger in us. I mean, we entertain it. We crave that. And we may not say it, we may not broadcast it, but if we're not careful, that's what we'll be craving. They'll get theirs. You just wait. And you know what? That's going to produce something inside of you and me when we have those kind of cravings we don't want inside of here, inside of here. Why? Because it's not right. It's not lined up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with this, then we need to be careful. Let me show you what a craving... Look in Job 23. I'll show you what a this is what a craving looks like. You know, when we say, how many remembers the story of Job? You know, Job was a just and a faithful man. God said, there's nobody like Job. No one on the planet like Job. He is a faithful and an upright man. You know, he's complete. He's a mature, pure, holy Christian. He walks with me and talks with me. And Satan said, well, no wonder you've got a big hedge around him and nothing can touch him or his stuff. And no wonder everybody would serve you if you blessed them like you blessed Job. That's one conversation I hope God never has about me and you. Have you considered my servant Randy? Oh, don't go there, God. That's why Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. You know, don't give me the temptation invitation, you know. But wouldn't it be awesome to think that you were at that level of spiritual maturity for God to have that conversation about you to Satan? And so he has the conversation, and so he says, I'll tell you what. He says, you can do anything you want to all this stuff, but you just can't touch this person. And so the devil comes, and he sends different people and different means, but he destroys his 10 children and kills them in a tornado. You know, I've always heard people say, well, is God in a storm? Is that God, or is that just nature? And how many remembers E.V. Hill? You remember E.V. Hill? That's who I cut my teeth on, was E.V. Hill. He's just my faith. He just ministered to me. E.V. was like me, just simple message, but he is just down to earth. And so he believed that when the tornadoes came, God was in it. You know, we've had several get blown away here. And if you've had loved ones or houses like Bob had and different things, I'm not saying that was justice being done. I'm just saying God is in it for our town, like in the bombing, to allow that. How many knows God could have intervened before the bomb went off and all, but He didn't. And it brought us together for a while, didn't it? You know, He allows things to happen is all I'm saying. And so we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what God's doing, because here's what we do. We begin to rebuke what God is doing and try to pray and come against what God may be in. And so we have to be careful when we're praying and when we're seeking God's face and say what, and there, you know, we've been taught so much that, oh, don't pray God's will, you know, be done. And well, Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we want to come into agreement with you, Father, for what you're doing in this matter. Instead of saying, oh, I'll take authority over this and I'll take, you know what? I don't think any of us in this room is all-knowing yet. It doesn't take you very long to listen to me and know that I'm not there yet. Thank you for that, Donnie. Takes one to know one. See how I want to retaliate? So anyway, he'd say, you know, he'd say, you know, and made a good point to say, let God be God, but seek what's right in that. I've seen people lose loved ones like you have, and then just turn cold and bitter, and because God didn't answer and God didn't do, you know, and they won't let God be sovereign. And when God doesn't do what they want done, their relationship's over. You know, when Summer was battling with petit seizures as a child, I had to make a decision, and I learned real quick: you don't manipulate God, you don't boss God, you don't tell Him what He's going to do. You can ask. He's your Father, and He loves you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine, but you don't tell God what He's going to do. You ask, and you shall receive. And He didn't say you'll receive exactly what you ask, but here's what He said: you will receive something. If you're crying, you'll receive comfort. If you're thirsty, you'll be filled. You know, if you're poor in spirit, the kingdom is at hand. You know, you'll receive, but you got to let God be sovereign, or somewhere in your walk, you're going to have to decide, is God still big as you thought He was? And is He still a loving God or not? And if you let God be sovereign, you never have to have that question. You just say, I asked, and evidently the answer was no. We all fasted and prayed, and God said, nope, it's time for Cliff to come home. So He's home, and we're not. And we'll either carry on or not. And when you're gone or I'm gone, when our mate's gone, we'll either carry on or not. Such a difference in people that know who their God is and still say, just like Job, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. In fact, you remember what happened whenever Job lost all of his family and stuff? He fell on his face and he worshiped and he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, there's a guy that's hungry and thirsty after the will of God. What does Satan do with that? Can you imagine when Job did that and God looks at Satan, and Satan looks at God and he's like, God's over here. Yeah. Did you hear that? And so he says, yeah, well, if you still got a hedge around him, and he says, well, you can touch his body, do anything you want to his body, but you just can't take his life. How many know Satan is limited to the will of God? Satan is limited to the will of God. Here's a statistic I read the other day. The death rate so far is 100%. That's not funny. We're getting older, you know. Death rate's 100%. Every human ever born has died so far after their time. You know, they're 60, 70, 80 years. I heard a report the other day, this lady somewhere, whatever, kind of, I didn't pick up the kind, 130 years old. 130 years old. I heard of a lady one time, years ago, my dad, he hates smoking. His dad had cancer from smoking, had a big gash, just cut out of his jawbone and part of his throat and stuff, and then had a brother had cancer, and so he just despised smoking. And so I was smoking at the time, and I told Dad, and I heard his stats. I said, here's a lady, I forget what country it was, too, but said she lived to be 120, 125 years old and smoked a pack of, like, Camels every day. I said, so see, what do you think about that? And Dad said, well, Lord, there's no telling how long she'd lived if she hadn't smoked. But how do you combat that, you know? But Job, man, I mean, he knows what's right, and he's hungry and he's thirsty for what's right. And even when his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? I'm thinking, why didn't you take her, you know, leave her here? But how many know she got hers in the end? She had to have 10 more children. Woo! How many ladies would think that was a blessing? Oh, I get to have 10 more children, do I? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah. So anyway, he's lost everything, and then his friends, how many has ever had friends like Job's friends? They've come, but you just wish they hadn't come. You know, just... And it would appear that a man that has had so much and so many blessings, it would appear in the natural that this man is bound to be living in sin. They're bound to be sin somewhere hidden. For God to do all of this in such a short period of time. I mean, it would seem like a logical explanation to what Job is going through, but how many knows it wasn't? And so be careful, church, whenever we see people going through things to think, oh, you know, God is, you know, be careful. Don't be judgmental when somebody's going through something. But by the grace of God, so go I. So be careful about having judgmental. But listen to this. This is a classic picture of what hungering and thirsting looks like and of a guy that needs a filling. In chapter 23, Job answered and said, even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. See, his focus is still on God, isn't it? And our focus when we're going to be, if we're hungering and thirsting after what's right, no matter what we're going through, will be to see and hear God. Not His hand, but His face. You know, as Americans, we seek His hand a lot more than we seek His face. His hand for what He can do for us and how He can bless us instead of His face and what His will is and what He's speaking to us and what He wants us to do and what He wants us not to do. And so He says, that I might come to His seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which would answer, he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in his great power? No, but he would take note of me. There the upright could reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Look, I go forward, but he is not there. How many knows Job's been searching? He said, look, friends, I've been looking high and low. Everywhere where I meet God on a regular basis, I've been there and I've been back there and I've been here and I've been there, and He is not there like He normally is. After Jan and I became really dedicated, what I'd call a disciple, you know, we began to study the Word and learn the Word He became my Lord as well as my Savior. How about that? Sometimes we want a Lord, but a Savior, but we're not really interested in the Lord. I'd rather Lord my own life. How many understands that? And so when I begin to let Him be Lord of my life, and I begin to look at what was right and change that, for the next 2 years, our marriage was on shaky ground. For the first time ever. We'd been married 10 years, and for 11 and 12, I don't want to repeat those two anymore. And you know I've got a great woman. And you know I'm hard-headed. You didn't know, it's a shock, isn't it? Just let that soak in for a while. But it was hard because I had let her lead our family for 10 years and was happy to do that. And then there were certain things that God taught me as the head of the home, I have to lead. And so as I began to, that transition took place, it was very difficult for us. In fact, I can remember one night in our bedroom, and I don't even have a clue what we were arguing about, but it was so intense. And finally, out of frustration, as a young, dedicated Christian, but our marriage is in trouble, I can remember saying to her, "If God isn't any bigger than this, we won't serve Him anymore." And I said it out of a frustrated, depleted heart. I was worn out. She was worn out. And all of a sudden, it was like all the confusion and all the demons or whatever was plaguing us just had to, it's like an angel ushered in and just swept everything out that was unholy and confusing to us. And all of a sudden, the peace of God came into our room and we were one again. I was hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And God said, "Now that's what I need you to say. I need you to say I'm bigger than this. And I need you to know that you're nothing and you can't make it without me. And you need a big God that can make this right." And all of a sudden, and boy, that was a turning point in our marriage. I mean, it was a turning point, and things began to get better. I remember one night we was having an argument. First time I ever slept on the couch, ever. I thought, I'm the head of my home, this is my bed. You don't leave? Leave. But I can remember, I was mad about something, and I was on the couch, and I went to say my prayers. And God reminded me, that's not right. And God wouldn't let me pray. I mean, I'd start to pray, and He said, "Don't pray to me till you apologize to her." And I begin to defend myself and say, "God, it's not my fault. Did you hear what she was saying? Check her attitude. Check her." And I go back to pray, and He would not let me. I mean, it just like, don't pray. And so I can remember getting up off the couch and going into the bedroom and standing there. And I didn't want to at all, but they that hunger and thirst after what is right. And I mustered up, "I'm sorry." And she said, "I'm sorry too." Did I get your space? Please be seated for the tire performance. She's not even listening to you. And so I can remember, she said, "I'm sorry too." And she got up and we hugged and that was right about the same time, you know, that it was the final arguments that we had. But we were really and truly hungry and thirsty for what was right. And I'm telling you, if you're going through something, if you'll hunger and thirst, not for what you want, not for what you think is right, but what God says is right. He said, I've got a promise for you. You will be filled. Filled with what? Filled with whatever you need. He said, "Whatever you need, I am. I am." And so Job is saying, if I could find Him, I could reason with Him, and I know He'd deliver me. Look at verse 8. "Look, I go forward, He is not there. Backward, I cannot perceive Him. When He works on the left hand, I cannot behold Him. When He turns to the right hand, I cannot see Him. I know He's there, and I know He's listening, but I just can't connect right now." But how many knows that's a hunger, isn't it? I mean, he's looking, he's searching, he's hungry for God and God's direction. He's had it all of his life until now. And this is confusing to Job because Satan is in the middle of his business. And any time it's confusion to you and you don't know what to do or how to think, you can just know Satan is in the middle of your business. But he's looking. Verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. How many knows God knows the way that you take? If it's a selfish way, God knows. And you will not be filled with righteousness. You will not be filled with the peace and the joy and the blessings of God when we're following our way. But when we're following God's way, he says, I promise you, you will be filled. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. How you know? Because I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for his what's right. I'm after righteousness. I won't stop until I find what is right. My foot is held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. Listen to this. I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. And I love this next line. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. That's hunger and that's thirst. I said, that's hunger and that's thirst. When you've lost everything, and the most important thing to you now is the words of his mouth. God, what is it that you want me to do? One of the things I thought when Miss Thalma and I were talking just early after, there too after the cliff service we had here, she said, God has been talking to me. Give me vision about ministry. Huh? I thought, see, I knew you were on a good track. When you're up early and you're seeking God and God is talking. How many knows if you're listening, God's still talking? Here's when God stops talking is when we go to the altar and it's all blah, 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 blah. You know, we won't stop talking. Just stop talking for a while. Just, you know, lay out your petition. Job said, I've laid it all out there and he's, I've got a complaint, but I need to talk to him now. I've got to hear from him now. I've got to know the right way now. And how many knows his friends never do encourage him? And if nobody ever encourages you, there's still a right way that you can find. And if you'll follow that, God can still bless you. If nobody in your sphere of influence or circle of friends encourages you, God will encourage you and fill you with hope. He will. It's not a majority rule. It's you and God. And if all your friends think there's hidden sin in your life and because of what you're going through, there must be something, don't worry about that because they're not God. As long as you know, when I'm going through something, the first thing I want to do is check my motives. How about you? Because I know my motives can turn like that because I'm human. And if my heart's right, then the second step I do is I pursue what He has said that I need to pursue. But first you want to get your heart right. Because if your heart's not right, your mind, your motive's not right, how many knows you're not going to follow after what's right? How many knows when you're upset and you're mad, we call it, I could just spit fire, you know, or whatever. How many knows you need to cool off and think for a while because you're not thinking right. Just calm down. My son, I was talking to him yesterday and in Spain, and he's going through a big inspection. We said, well, how'd your inspection go? He said, you know, we got excellent all the way around in both areas. He said, but I'm really discouraged, Dad. And I said, what's the matter? He said, well, he said, you know, I put in all this time and stuff, and I'm leading this group. And he said, I helped in so many areas, other areas I didn't have to. And he said, I didn't get one piece of recognition. And then I said, well, why did you help in all these other areas? Did you have to? He said, no, I wanted the team to get an excellent report. I said, did your team get an excellent report? He said, oh, they got an excellent report. I said, then you achieved your goal, didn't you? He said, I guess I did. I said, were you after that or were you after recognition? He said, well, I thought I'd get some because of that. I said, well, how's this? Me and your mom, we're very proud of you. I said, and God has written down everything you did for your team and the other team. You know why? Because it's right. And it says God will never forget your labor of love. And so when you do what's right and people don't recognize you, I said, here's your scripture for today, son. Humble yourself under the hand of God and He will exalt you in due time. You know what we hate to wait on? Due time. Because due time is not you time. It comes late. It does not come late. What are you saying? It feels late, doesn't it? It feels late. Somebody was saying the other day, married men live longer than single men. I said, no, they don't. It just feels like we do. And I said, I was just kidding, honey. See, but when we're overlooked, it's hard to do what's right, isn't it? I said, you know, but that's the scripture I get. And I said, I guarantee you, God will make it right. Because you did what was right. You did what you felt in your heart should be done. I said, now, if you want to seek recognition, how could you do it different? I said, could you just maybe focus on your field and your field alone and don't worry about those guys? He said, well, probably so, and I could have got more recognition. I said, well, then what do you want to do? You want recognition or do you want your team to? He said, well, I'm a team player. And I said, well, then you're on a good track. You know, we have to decide what we want. And how many knows God will pat you on the back whenever you need. If that's your hunger and that's what you're thirsty for, just do what is right. You know, if nobody ever recognizes me, well, just keep doing what's right. Somebody will. Somebody will sometime, somewhere, someplace. Because that's the Word. I'm gonna make this a two-part series because we're going to look at David. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for calling our way right. And there's some people in this room today that you just want to set them free. They're battling and their hunger and thirst has been in the wrong area. They're hungry and thirsty for their justice, for what they would like to see done. And I pray today that you'll give them wisdom to see the difference in what's right and what they're desiring today, what they're hungry and thirsty for. And in Jesus' name, I pray that you would today forgive them and forgive us when we get in that mode, Lord, where we're seeking our will and we're seeking, we're feeling sorry for ourselves or we're, you know, hungry and thirsty after pity parties or whatever. You know, it's not right. It's not ever going to lead to justice and fairness and equity because we're not following the right path, the godly path. And Father, it's a trick of Satan, and we ask today that the light would come on, and for those that's been hungering and thirsting in an area of life, they felt defeated, they felt overwhelmed, and I pray today in Jesus' name that you would just give them wisdom and open their eyes to see what's right, what you would say that they need to do in hunger and thirst after. And as we yield our minds and hearts to you today, we ask in Jesus' name that you would give us a heart for what is right according to Scripture, according to the Holy Bible. And as we begin to seek that and follow after that, you've made us a promise. You said you will be filled. And so today, Lord, forgive us for seeking our own will and help us to seek what is right according to Scripture. And we stand upon that and we give you permission to reveal that to us, to convict us and change us so that we can receive the joy and the blessings and live the well and fortunate and blessed life that you promised. In Jesus' name, amen. While Christians praying, heads are bowed. If you're here today...